May I also take this opportunity to welcome the department, the chief, and the team. Thank you very much for understanding our type program. At this time of delivering the budget, we had to, we're given a new department, the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. We're given that point, so we dealt with it. That's why we requested the postponement. Thank you very much for understanding. We invited you on I see the invitation here. We have to be focusing on the 2010-2011, and I see the presentation as well. You see, now we're not dealing with the we're supposed to be dealing with the appropriation. In other words, your annual performance plan, if you did, if you had, that's what we're supposed to be dealing with. Because the committee's charge is the responsibility of passing the budget. The 2011-2012 appropriation. Yes. Now, we're inviting departments to, especially where we think that the issues we would like to discuss with you around that. I was with the teaching on the list on that member on the way here. And I was saying to him, we had at the last quarterly report where we invited the portfolio committee on rural development and land affairs, rural development and land reform. We had agreed about the process of just discussing the future of funding for the department. And I think that as a committee, we are committed to that, but it's not what we invited you here for today. Ichi, can I invite you to ask that question?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. May I just introduce the team? On my far left is Mr. Fosi Mahlangu, the team DPG rank 4. On my left is on my left here is Irene Singh, she's the Chief Director of Financial Management. And Tammy is our CFO, who will lead us on the presentation. Thank you.
I don't know if you noted my remark, but I want to comment on that. And maybe at this moment we've been joined by the acting chairperson of the Chief Financial Commission. I hope that I only want to say FFC to avoid so I don't call I don't give you a wrong name. Mr. Kumaro, you are welcome. Well, thank you, PG. I'm noticing that there might be a problem with your presentation.
prepared the presentation in the main to address partly the concerns raised by the committee. But I think the last two slides in the presentation begin to show how the budget is distributed across the five programs of the department. Page 10 of the presentation, which you can talk to. I think on that note as well, Chairperson, we also agree with you that that meeting on the structure of the budget between the Select Committee and the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform, we also believe that it is a critical meeting. Because we also feel the same, we feel that there has got to be, at the level of the department, an engagement with National Treasury. But obviously, we support the initiative of the committee. The chairperson of the Portfolio Committee has also raised similar concerns with us at our last Portfolio Committee meeting. With regard to the annual performance plan, for the current financial year, we do have the plan. We just said we did not think of probably distributing it in advance for the members, but we can make arrangements for the APP to be made available in relation to this budget on page 10.
So, you'll be ready perhaps to present on the APT. As I was saying earlier, the main thing, and I think that maybe the focus was more on the part that, and then on the previous year, that the real implementation that the third part of invite you
incorporated outcome survey, as you know, the Department of Rural Development, and then from is the coordinating department of the of outcome survey. The vision of the department remains the same you have seen it before. There are six priorities that we seek to focus on during the implementation of this to improve productivity in land reform farms. You will see that we are not putting more emphasis on land acquisition. We are putting a lot of emphasis in ensuring that the money that gets invested in acquiring land is not going to waste through funds going to farms so that people lose jobs on those farms. That's why we are placing emphasis on functional farms, productive farms. To expedite finalization of land claims despite all the challenges obviously that we have. The effective rollout of the CRPP, the mainstay program of the department, improve cooperative governance. We've never really emphasized on this area before, but we have elevated it. Implement proper change management and enhance efficiency in information management. There are eight strategic goals that are informing the outputs of the department. As I said, we're emphasizing sound corporate governance to improve service delivery. We are prioritizing policy, legislative, and institutional reforms fundamental that will be seen in the Green Paper when it becomes public on land reform and the Green Paper on rural development and land reform, and the approved legislative program that we submitted to the Leader of Government Business last year. Improve effective land planning and administration, institutional arrangements for corporate governance and stakeholder participation, access and productive use of land, access to affordable and diverse food, improve rural services to support livelihoods, and improve access to sustainable employment and skills development. Chair, just very briefly, this slide, if you look at the last three strategic goals of the department, they are effectively the five key outputs of outcome number seven. Outcome number seven these are the key in outcome number seven. Those are the outputs on outcome number seven. Then moving on to the second part of the APP. We start with program one. This is where we're providing strategic and logistical support to the department. Again, this is where the strategic goal of improving corporate governance is going to be driven in the department. Implementation of proper change management and efficient information management system and policy, legislative and institutional reforms. Those strategic goals, we've lifted them. They are located under this program. Here, we begin to break down the strategic goals into strategic objectives at a much more lower level, with those specific indicators to measure performance. Then we've broken our targets on a quarterly basis across, as you can see, from effective and efficient and fair human resource management. We want to have a percentage reduction in the vacancy rate in line with available budget. We want a percentage increase in client satisfaction in terms of the rating, legal services rendered to the department. We want to be 100% compliant with our insofar as complying to court orders, bargaining council rules, and other legislative decisions. Improve service delivery within the department and rural communities insofar as ICT and ICT knowledge and information management. Again, we have a quarterly target there where we'll be producing a strategy and a plan that will be implemented and will be able to report on a quarterly basis. The second strategic objective is results-based planning, monitoring, and evaluation. Again, I'm happy that you were receiving the budget of this department, but we have got a unit in the department that focuses on monitoring and evaluation. Our indicated here is that we have a strategy developed and implemented. We want to see our plan implemented 75%. By the second quarter, we want 50% of the plan implemented, so that by the last quarter of the financial year, we have 75% of the strategy implemented. The next strategic objective is effective. We are saying we have got a strategic objective on comprehensive results-based planning, monitoring and evaluation that drives the organization to ensure delivery on expected outcomes by 2040. What we are saying, what we will do in this financial year is to develop a strategy and implement it. On a quarterly basis, we will have targets that are broken down. You will see that our annual target is a 75% implementation of the TME strategy. Then a target for quarter one to complete the draft strategy. Quarter two, 50% implementation of the strategy. Can I ask the DG Marshall Chair to help me on this? Should I ask
Thank you. presented at the LME. So actually it would be a third explained to the annual report that you think LME one so that if other parties that you can make it only four elements, you can make a certain position. If you've implemented just two elements, you've implemented half of your strategy. The same goes with communication strategy. Again, we aim to have implemented all about almost 75% of that communication strategy by the end of the year. But we have to start by having that strategy developed and then tabled and approved, and then we start implementing. Also, when you're talking about strategy, formal strategies being adopted, we want to ensure that we've got a credible document that we can produce in front of the AG, in front of the core and all oversight structures. But it doesn't mean that work in that regard is actually missing. Work does happen. I mean, there is communication, but we want to have a credible document that supports to all what is expected out of that program. I just think I will continue from where it is. So, in this strategy objective, we're talking about developing the right measures for the second and then the consequences and legislation by 2014. These policies that we're talking about here are already in the process of being developed, and some of the legislation has been tabled and approved already, but this is actually some sort of policies. Yes, they include even the green paper, the two green paper for land reform and the right development. And the other pieces of legislation like the land use management bill, they are all in the process of being developed. Some have already been adopted, but we have targeted to develop by 8 by the end of this year. Now the next session is talking to the effective and efficient financial management services provided in the government by 2014. 2014 checkers, we are not saying that everything will come to a standstill until 2014, but we're saying by that time we should be able to measure and say, is our financial management system efficient? So we have efficiency indicators as well as effectiveness indicators. So we measure them. Then you will see that they're talking about spending according to linear targets, main appropriation. Again, with this one, checkers, we know that they are aiming for 100% at the end of the year. So they are not wanting to leave anything to change in terms of spending in the department. We are. I'm talking tools. I'm going to this point too, where we're talking about wanting to pay our suppliers within 30 days of the state of the state of them and the Chairperson will understand. Treasurer, we said our indicators must be accurate. We are saying we don't want to just submit and say we want to pay 30 within 30 days. Because there are those invoices where we have to query and then they go back and forth. So those ones we don't take 30 days, but the thing is that we want to pay within 30 days. So if the invoice is not to be treated, then we want to also comply with the National Treasury and Financial Management Authority model for today. We said that Chairperson, our target is 3.5. So the indicator is National Treasury and Financial Management Authority model for team that we want to achieve the 3.5 as a department. In quarter one, we set our rating to 2.8. In quarter two, our rating improved to 3.0. In quarter three, our rating was at level 3.2. And at the end of the financial year, we start to comply at level 3.5. That I just talk to the program people and then go just talk to the key indicators and then expenditure estimates for that program. Now let me then sum up by saying in program one, the key indicators are a reduction of the cancer rate. We have already talked about that. And the development of the MME framework to ensure that the outcome seven and the outputs that we're presenting are implemented effectively. And lastly, I talked about the indicator of financial management where we want to pay our service providers within 30 days. And the one for actually improving on the rating, national treasury rating. So I will talk quickly to the expenditure estimates for the program within program, sub-program within program one. In the ministry, the total of the ministry the allocation is 13.905, and then in management is 58.124. And then for corporate services, it's 471.948. It's in page 24 of the ACT. Then office accommodation, which is also an approval one, is an allocation of 58.576. And then the government water transport is 4.047. So total the in the current year the total appropriated budget is 3.6104. Okay. Then can I quickly go to program two? Program two exists to provide your special pedestrian survey special planning information as well as technical services in support of sustainable land development. To receive the total budget for the
Thank you.
medicine on page 49 of the 82. Automatic document at National Office is 180.655. And draft document in provincial offices is 250.6.
Where are we now? Are we on another program?
Page 3 still, draft document. Page 41. And the total the application there is 441.276. And we move to program 4, which is restitution program. The purpose of this program is to provide settlement of land restitution claims under the Restitution of Land Rights Act and amended, and to provide settlement support to restitution beneficiaries. Key priorities for this program are to reduce the backlog of the land claims and to settle all outstanding land claims. It's on page 42 of the NCT. So the indicators are just two, as we have included two priorities. They are talking to reduction of the backlog and setting of new claims. Again, the same method, I will move to the application that turns out to be appropriated. This now, the Constitution Office is 51.054. And page 43 of the
8.
Yes, we've got just two indicators, just two priorities, the reduction of backlogs and the gains and settling of new claims. So we've got two indicators for that program. And so we're doing this. There are only two indicators. They are on page 42 for this program. They are talking directly to those two priorities for this restitution program. Restitution grants amount to 2.083173, and the total there is 2,497,293. And the last program now is program 5. Is on page 44 of the 82. Land reform program exists to provide sustainable land reform programs in South Africa. And the priorities for these programs are to improve productivity in land reform projects through the effective implementation of the recapitalization and development program. The second priority is to acquire and allocate strategically located land. So the indicators for this program are only about 7 indicators, but they talk specifically to these priorities. I'd rather that I just move straight to the appropriation to the budget thing. National restitution at National Office is 51.054. It's page 45 of the 82. Okay. Land reform, National Office, 658.813. Land reform, provincial offices, 580.957. Land reform grants, The program update is that in the ATT. So the CFO will talk to the total budget, the summary for all the programs of the department.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll be talking to page 18 of the APP, the overall budget for the department. As you will note, there we've got five programs, which is administration, geospatial and cadastral services, rural development, education, and then the fourth. And they've been taken through the goals and the study goals of Program 1's administration, the overall budget allocation for that program is 206 million for the 2011-12 financial year. For geospatial and cadastral services, the overall budget for the 2011-12 financial year is 388 million. For rural development, which is Program 3, our new program in the department, overall budget allocation is 441 million. And for restitution, the overall budget there for the 2011-12 financial year is 2.5 billion. The lender home, where the biggest chunk of our budget is going to, you can see there we've got 4.1 billion. And our overall budget for the year is 8.1 billion for the 2011-12 financial year.
Thank you, Chair. That was the summary as reflected on the screen of the total budget that shows how the total of the 8.1 billion for financial year 2011-12 is allocated across the five programs of the department.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just going to page 45, land reform. The target there is that the number of farms recapitalized is 387 farms, which is like 97-96 per quarter. And then you say that number of farms capacitated through agricultural training is only 40. What happens to this? Are they not really trained? How must they? Because this is one of our biggest problems, is that we put people on farms and they don't know how to farm, and they, you know, it affects food security. So, how are you going to make sure that they figure that they, you see so much improvement as far as that is concerned? Because it's not good. Then the other thing is, Chair, last year sometime we heard that there was quite a lot of claims those claims. So if they can give me that figure for you. Thanks, Chair. Chair, let me ask something final. I don't know if there's anyone from Treasury. Because if you look at this APP and you look at the APP that we looked at yesterday, they're fundamentally different. This one has got the chose programs over the MTF, and looking at currencies, but without any figures attached to it. So it becomes, you're looking for outcomes, and those outcomes haven't got any figures attached to the outcomes. Maybe I'm reading the document wrong, so if I am, I'd like to show. And so it becomes very difficult when, if my interpretation of the document is correct, it becomes difficult for us to apply our minds to say this is the kind of budget they need. Because if you can't see what budget is attached to this target, maybe the targets are ambitious against budget, and maybe they're not ambitious against budget, I don't know. So to me, I just need clarity on that.
Thank you, Chair. I think I've also more is the same line as Honourable Members now. It's in page 40. That is strategic goals 5, 7, and 8. I think that will determine the success of this, the party. I also want the stats, the money allocated for this. Where is this? Is it on page
43? Page
43. I'm still on page 40. What is the stat? Is that stat that I needed? Is that on page 60 somewhere? I want to know what is the amount allocated for these three. 5, 7, 8. That's page 14. On page 14. The strategic goals for 5, 7, and 8. I just want to find out where is the money allocated.
Thank you, Jim.
They registered or just the one registered, because on your annual target updated risk register. How many registered registers are we talking about? I'll just like to have clarity on program number 4, is page 43. I do understand the restitution regional offices. Are they new offices or on this capital payment of capital as assets? Are these new offices or are offices that have been there? Thank you.
On my side, what do I would like to understand is I think we have to do with the KPAs on program 1 at the time that one was still getting the does work. I suspect that there's a lot we need to understand. Yesterday we were dealing with the Kutupatu point. They're also acquiring land. Though the land that they were acquiring is for building a second watch. Now, it makes it a little bit difficult for us. It's not just difficult for us to understand that who has got the responsibility in a particular area. Is it yourselves? Is it public works? The agriculture, for instance, in terms of productivity. And I think that is a good idea if the emphasis is that at least the GMNs must not just get land and then after getting land there's a problem of supporting them. It will be a good idea. But when we're still dealing with the big cable program, there was this as part of your annual performance plan, you know, MND communication strategy, achieving 75% for me. I don't think that I understood. Maybe I pretended that I understood when I don't. But the issue for me here is that you plan to do something. That's one part that really worries me, teaching, is when the students kept on saying, you're going to develop this thing. You're still going to develop. You're going to develop on this, you're going to develop on this, you're going to develop. We are now in June. This is the third month of the financial year. It will soon, we're moving to the second quarter soon. We're going to develop. It worries me because what I think that what you're going to do now, this morning we're dealing with performance monitoring and evaluation. And clearly these are the matters that we would like to raise with them. We expect the issue of planning has been raised during, when we're dealing with the strategic plan. The issue of planning by the department. Because at the end of the year, we're not going to be able to utilize the budget because we don't seem to be planning on time. Because our expectation as a committee or as parliament general is that if you're going to 2011-2012 financial year, at least everybody in the department must understand by of April, what is it that we want to do this year? That we're going to do. People's plans should be ready to be put in place. Well, we don't want to see a situation where first quarter expenditure sometimes 10%, 5% because of planning. Why is it that we can't plan the previous year for the financial year? Because we have MTF now. Already here in this document, I remember Honourable Member Mashiko just said, okay, let's focus on 2011, 2012. Because clearly, we had the indicative what we call allocations for the other years. We said so much. I mean, you know which program is, why can't we plan sometimes? So that we are ready to implement the following year. That's the issue that I'm trying to maybe with the resources now, what is it that you're going to do differently now? To be compliant. Maybe we wanted to where is the what is it called? It's on the critical market. The name is Rural Development and then the farm. Now I'm looking at the budget. What is the budget? And last year, by the way, you had to shift money around in order to deal with the issues of the lender situation. Now, if corruption is an issue on land restitution, is land restitution your main focus or land reform? Is land restitution? I think land reform is worth 4.1 billion. Are we going to be? I do know that we have a discussion that is outstanding, that you alluded to at the beginning. But maybe I should just understand, because I don't want us to think that to colleague was asking about where a national treasurer was, for instance. But I think that you are the people who go to national treasury. National treasury, this is how we want to see our own budget this year. So that now if you do that, when you know that your main core responsibility is some better slice there, but it's less budgeted, it's under budgeted. How do we deal with those situations? Okay. Comrade Mashabu on the comeback.
There's a gentleman they sent us yesterday. And on page 3, the context of the expenditure. I think that really their explanation really is not acceptable. Because there are 1, 2, 3, 4 bullets. They say they reported under or over expenditure after the invitation letter.
Okay, sorry.
Yes. They reported under or over expenditure after the invitation letter against the adjusted appropriation as opposed to final appropriation. We talk about adjusted appropriation here because you requested that requirement. And this comes down to really as poor planning because you requested that under that requirement. And you even tell us that it was according to Section 43. And if we really want to know why there was an under expenditure, it was based on the fact that you requested this and it was made available to you. And really we are looking at the adjusted appropriation here. And we think your explanation is not acceptable because you requested that and you work with national treasury that you require it. Because if you didn't require it, then why did you do that requirement? As if today when we ask why there's an under expenditure, you start telling us about final adjustment, appropriation, not adjusted appropriation. Our question still stands here. There is an under expenditure on the adjusted appropriation.
with responding to specific questions. I think there was one on recapitalization and development that my colleague Kusimaka will address. But I think they are possibly even before the questions at the level of the ATP that you may just need to just clarify, including the relationship between the department and the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, who does what. I think the complex question of restitution claims, what is our core business as a department? Is it restitution, land reform, is it rural development? But how do you explain the budget distribution? Is it in sync with our core business? Or I would like to deal with those questions. And public works vis-a-vis the Department of Rural Development and then the form finding them. Those are the kinds of questions I would like to deal with. But then I will then ask the CFO to deal with the finance related question, and then the question relating to program 5, land reform. I'll ask my colleague, Mr. Masango, to assist. Chairperson, first of all, for the first time when we started planning, well, this is the other question you raised. Why are we not planning in advance? We started planning last year, Chairperson, for the current financial year. We said we will get National Treasury to assist us in the development of our strategic plan. So there is a unit in National Treasury that is specializing in these areas. Because we were grappling exactly with some of the questions the honorable members are raising. In 2009, there was an announcement of an establishment of a department of rural development and land reform. What is new in the department is rural development fundamentally. Now, what you've got up there as a slide, it is trying to explain this dichotomy we're trying to deal with. But then Cabinet introduced the outcome-based approach. So we're saying, okay, there's rural development, now we've got a rural development program. And then later in the year, government adopted an outcome-based approach. We then said, there are these old functions in the old Department of Land Affairs that remain. How do we balance all of these things and dovetail all of them? Mind you, Honorable Chair, we had to juggle this within the resources that had originally been allocated to the old Department of Land Affairs to accommodate everything. So you see that outcome-based approach came as a new agenda, as much as it spoke to quite a number of things, where to try and reprioritize certain things. Then there were your deeds offices, your surveyors general, all of these statutory functions that the department is still responsible for, which we have to continue to provide for. So we're trying to dovetail and merge many things. We said we needed experts from National Treasury. They came, they assisted us in the development of the strategy plan. It took several days. So from last year, so that we were able to table the strategic plan on time, or complete it on time. Now, the chairperson is saying the indicators when we were talking about the strategic goals, especially under administration, the strategic objectives, particularly on M&E and communication, that still talk about to develop. That was in the context at the time when we were planning, when we were projecting, that these strategies must be in place at a particular time with the available resources, so that they are in the second quarter, we are able to implement them. But perhaps the question is, when this quarter comes to an end, Chairperson, which ends at the end of this month, would we be able to say as a department, have we developed those, so that come 1st of July,
currently we are implementing old strategies. What the strategies that we're talking about developing are the strategies that are trying to talk to this new organization with a new strategy plan. That was our attempt. It does not mean that nothing is happening around M&E and communication. It means that it's still very much looking towards old Department of Land Affairs. That is, I'm trying to explain that in that way, Chairperson. With regard to the relationship between ourselves and DAF, it's quite a complex one. I don't know, Chairperson, if you noticed in the strategic plan, in the APP, under rural development, some of the things that we are saying we're doing. We are doing community gardens, we are recapitalizing and developing farms, we are reviving irrigation schemes. Exactly. So we certainly do know that there's a challenge. In fact, Cabinet has directed that the Minister of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation should convene a meeting between the two ministers to say, given that you can't talk about rural development without talking about agriculture, how do these two departments work together? I'm saying it has even been acknowledged at cabinet level. And cabinet has taken a decision to ask Minister Colin Chauhan to convene these two ministers so that we have some kind of a framework within which we work. We don't trip on each other. But at our level, what we've done is, together between myself and the DG of DAF, we have a joint team. If we're saying we are revitalizing irrigation schemes, it does not mean that we're working alone. They have the technical expertise. They have engineers who assist in developing terms of reference, who help in the planning process. They will have extension officers and so on and so on. So they lead in that aspect. But we sit with the money in terms of appropriation. We sit with the money. So they have got the technical expertise, the technical know-how. So they come in there. Similarly, on food security, when the president signed the performance agreement with the minister, he said to the minister, as coordinating minister of outcome 7, you are responsible for food security. Generally, it has been known that food security is a function of agriculture. Now, again, it is in that area where we must try and find common understanding. It's been difficult. I'm not going to pretend that it's been smooth. At some point before, they were very angry with us. They are taking our mandate away. So we have to nurse the situation and come to some understanding. The ministers have met. I think there will soon be a follow-up meeting, I hope, in that regard. Public works, we don't buy land for state domestic purposes, and public works buys land for state domestic purposes. I'll be surprised if they are buying farms for state domestic purposes, and that's the distinction. We buy land for land reform purposes. On the Chairperson, the issue of the compliance with the court orders. I've tried, Chairperson, to deal with the issue of the core business of the department to say this is what we're trying to grapple with. But I think as we start now with the MTF, with the next cycle of the MTF, because in government, that work has already started. To say we start preparing our budget needs, we start engaging with National Treasury, both in terms of budget adjustment and putting in budget needs should we require additional money going into the future. Now, one of the things we want, having discussed this internally and gotten the approval of the minister, we would have to sit down and say,
whether rural development is the key program or not, there is a particular reality that we're dealing with. The reality that we've got this exposure insofar as restitution is concerned. Hence, we've got 346 court cases against the department. Because if we just simply continue and take more money moving towards rural development, for instance, we have less money for land reform and restitution, then there will be court orders that we are unable to comply with. So what the exercise that we are busy with as we prepare to engage with National Treasury is to try and finalize with certainty the exact exposure. We set and agreed what would constitute a commitment on our part insofar as restitution is concerned. We said it will constitute the department, the commission, making an offer to a landowner, the landowner accepting the offer. It will constitute a Section 42D approval, which is an approval that says the claim is valid and therefore should be settled. That would constitute a commitment. With that, thirdly, it will constitute a signed sale agreement between the department and the landowner. We then said, what we have paid in the commission, we have paid in the past 50% of the land acquisition price and not the other 50%. We said we wanted the quantum of that. Chairperson, when we started trying to dig, we were surprised at the state of information management. Hence, it has taken us very long to come back to Parliament, to Portfolio Committee, to the Select Committee, to say this is the exact amount of your exposure. This is the quantum. Sorry. Standing Committee. Sorry. Yes. NCOP, yes. Now, we have had to put a team within the department to go across the country, not to rely on information that is sitting on computers and databases. We have said they must go to files. Each and every one of the estimated 80,000 files that relate to restitution, go through each and every one of them to determine all the information that is required, from the lodgement of the claim to the research of the claim, how much money has been paid, if any money has been paid. That is what is currently being done. We have put a team together. We hope they will finish chairperson. It's not going to be, when we determined the target, we were not sure that it will, how deep was the challenge. I don't see them finishing before before December this calendar. I don't see them. Sorry? Yes, it may not have been me, but I'm representing the department. I will take that responsibility. All I'm saying is that I'm being honest with the committee. I don't want to set myself up and lying and saying it will be available in 3 months. I know it's not good. We did not know the extent of the problem we're dealing with. So we are unable to answer that question of the quantum because there's an exercise that is being done. The compliance with court order, it relates to this question, Chair, on the quantum. At some point, when I started in this role, I said I established a team under the chairmanship of the CFO, led by various people, finance desk people, looking at the finance information in the commission, legal people looking at the number of court cases against the department, because no one could tell us how many court cases are there. What is coming our way? We continuously got surprised when we got a court order. So we put a team. That is why today I can say the last time I got the report there were 346 cases. But the Land Claims Court in Randburg could be making a decision again a judgment, a court judgment today. So that frame is what we are trying to improve. Now you ask the question, how are you going to deal with these court orders? You only have 2.3 billion rand. This is one big challenge. It's difficult. You can't function as a department if your budget expenditure is only driven by court orders. But the reality we have right now, Chairperson, is that there are 346 court cases and increasing. What we are trying to do now is to say, what is our probability of winning this case? Instead of waiting for a court to pass adverse judgment against the department, let's pay. Because we're going to pay at the end of the day. So that we have some level of certainty. So that is the attitude we have adopted. That's why I'm saying we have this team that is trying to analyze that. To say, what is our chances of winning here? If the landowner is suing us because we paid 50% of the claim, now we don't want to pay the other 50%, we will obviously lose if the landowner went to court. So that those are the kinds of things that we're trying to do, to try and be proactive. You ask us, what is the strategy? Instead of having court orders every other week, why don't you analyze the cases and then say, pay this because you have got no chance of winning? That is the approach that we've taken, because cabinet took a decision that every court order must be paid within 30 days. So that's what we're trying to do. Chairperson, I will stop here and ask my colleague, Mr. Masaho, to respond to the question on recap. Why, if you're going to train fewer farmers, what is going to happen to the rest?
Thanks, Chair. Family members, colleagues. Maybe just as a fresh question around strategic goal number 5. It's on page 14. It's a summary of what is covered in page 45, which is the target for the land reform. The number of hectares acquired, farms will be required to capitalize and the farmers capacitated through the agricultural training program. Chair, on responding to recapitalization together with the issue of the farmers, allow me to explain the logical process of recapitalization and development. Part of the recapitalization and development strategy is that the service providers that are appointed will also train the farmers which are the beneficiaries on those farms. The training will include kinds of different training, which is also agricultural, soft skills, financial management, so that they can keep their goods. The logic there is that in that process of training, they capacitate those farmers. So if you have, for instance, the target at the end of the 87 farms to be attended to, you will basically automatically produce the same number of farmers in the process, because 387 farms will be occupied by 387 beneficiaries. But maybe the reason why there are 40 in the ATP is that training is one thing, but graduating from training is another thing. After the assessment, the team may report that not everyone at the first year or in this MTF period will graduate to be commercial farm. Hence, they set the target in such a way that at the end of the day, from that training process, you will have those that you can be able to prove and show and demonstrate that this has graduated into a level that we are calling the commercial farmers. It's a tricky one. But if you read the strategy in the ATP together with that one of staff, you will notice that the number of farmers that at the end of the day are targeted are far more than the 40 that this department has identified. So the fears from the members to say there will be a very minimal number of people to be trained is addressed basically by the staff, who is the main core partner in this training of the farmers.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be addressing the question of the under expenditure for the adjusted appropriation. Chairperson, you note that in March we were requested by this committee to come and provide the reason why we were behind with our debt court agreements. I think at that time we were sitting at 67%, whereas we should have been sitting at 75%. And the main reason that we explained to this committee is that we had applied to National Treasurer for the rollover of half a billion, and that half a billion was received in November. As a result of that, it pushed down our actual expenditure. Had we not received that half a billion, our expenditure at that time would have been still at 72%. Because we received that money very late, which is we received in November, and we've got about 3 to 4 months to spend that money. And that is the main cause behind the underspending of the budget. Because that half a billion is the money which we had requested last year, because we already got orders waiting, and we had requested National Treasurer to overrule the limitation which is placed by Section 43, which is the 8% limit. In that year, it is allowed. They said we cannot. So then we were forced to apply for the removal. And there was a long time before that half a billion was approved. And when it was approved, it was at a very early stage. But during our third quarter presentation, we had promised this committee that we would spend at least 95% of our budget given the circumstances. And today we managed at least to go beyond that promise we made before this committee. We spend 97.7% of our budget. Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, the other question of regional offices, those regional offices, they are not old, they are not new, they are old. It's just a matter of classification of that when we presented that template as prescribed by National Treasurer, we must make that classification. They are new, they are no new offices.
The question on the there was a question on the money allocation against programs. The other member was saying it's not clear in the report. Can you talk to that?
Thanks, Chairperson. On page 18, you will realize that even though there are 5 programs, you'll find that one program is responsible for different strategic goals. So if you look at program strategic goal number 5, it's done by land reform. Strategic goal number 7 is done by rural development. And strategic goal number 8 is also done by rural development. And the money allocated for those programs for rural development is 441 and for land reform is 421. Chairperson, the question was on strategic, it was on page 14. Honourable member was asking, on page 14 for strategic goal number 5, number 7, and number 8, how much is that money allocated? So I'm saying read page 14 together with page 18, which shows how money is allocated for different strategic goals.
Thank you, Chair. I think the last question relates to the fact that you've got an overall figure on page 14, and what the member asked, and he's not here at the moment, so he can't defend himself, so I'm defending it on his behalf, is that they wanted broken down that global figure into smaller segments to show exactly what portion of that global figure goes to each specific KPI. Chair, we were going to be advised at the end of December as to how many cases were outstanding. It was in this morning's newspaper or yesterday that Minister Musinti said again that he might even reopen the restitution period again. And we're moaning about the willing buyer, willing seller, but we don't know where we're going, Chair. No, no, we don't know where we're going because we don't know how much we own. So how can we know where you're going if you don't know how much you own? You know, it's like my buying a new car, but I already owe, you know, 2 million rand to the bank. You know, that's silly. You don't work like that. This is not the way business is done. And as long as they don't know how much they owe and how many court cases are outstanding and what the quantum of that is, they're never going to win. And now we've got to wait until December this year before we hear again. But they can rest assured I will ask the question in January. And, you know, this time I'm not going to give you another year's extension. So, you know, make sure that you know exactly how much is outstanding and how many court cases you're referring to. You refer to 346 court cases at the moment. Do you know what the quantum is of those 346 court cases? Because we should know that. Because, you know, they're already there. It's not something which is hidden. Then with regard to the training of farmers, Chair, is there any coordination with DAF as far as this is concerned? With the Department of Agriculture and Forestries, because you've got to figure you train 40 farmers. How many, you know, what is DAF training? What are they doing? If they are actually doing the training of these farmers, because we found, Chair, that 95% of the farms that have been transferred to beneficiaries are not productive. They are not productive. Period. Time. So they're not producing food, and it is threatening our food security in this country. And if we don't train the farmers, when we give them the farm and give them the means to actually produce, we're not going to get anywhere. Thank you, Chair.
inability of the department to comply with the deadline we set ourselves to submit the information. We sincerely apologize for that. We will do everything in our power to at least on an ongoing basis, to be in a position to update the country on the progress we are making in that regard. Unfortunately, I don't have the value of this court case, the monetary value of this court case is with me right now. We can provide the information to the committee. I think we have a delivery agreement that is part and parcel of outcome number 7 that we're talking about. Outcome 7 is about it is saying of the 12 outcomes, it says outcome 7 is about creating vibrant, equitable and sustainable rural communities and providing food security for all. It is one of the 5 key priorities of government. Now, in outcome number 7 is a delivery agreement that is signed by the minister and participating ministers. In that document, unfortunately, again, I do not have that document, the delivery agreement, with me. It sets out targets for every participating department. We can show you, we can provide the information again to the committee, where they have set an annual target of how many farmers they are going to train, how many farmers they are going to support in various forms. I'm just coming from a meeting now where I was looking at this information. That information is monitored, the performance of the department is monitored by the president. We were sitting with the president from the president, from the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, where we were trying to sort out that particular report. Because, yeah. Your department reports to cabinet on outcome number 7 on a quarterly basis. Now we are now at the point where we need to be reporting. So information has been provided for the quarter. It is that information that is being verified to say, Duff, you said you will train so many people. Have you trained them so that you are able to report to cabinet? That is the sorting out we're talking about, not the tripping. Chair, the question you raised about, you said you saw somewhere where we were talking about so many claims have been resolved and there's so many outstanding. Over the years, we want to be very upfront with you. Over the years, the Commission has been consistently reporting in their annual report how many claims have been settled to date, how many are still outstanding. How many are IBAN and how many are rural. On trying to verify that information, we found that there were gaps in that information. You may even look at the annual report of the commission for 2008-2009. It will probably say there are 3,500 claims remaining. But when you then say, give me the portfolio of evidence, where? Show me. And then you start looking at the claims. Sometimes you find that there were several claims in a particular area, but then they consolidated these claims and made them into one claim. That is part of the problem. Consolidated the claim, 5 claims into one claim. And then committee starts saying, wait a minute, we all claimed differently. Why are you putting us together? Hence the infighting in the committee. So we say, you can't then just simply consolidate these claims. Yes. So that's part of the problem that we're dealing with. What is the budget?
What I was asking, another swap was raising my question.
debate about the truth. If the strategic objectives I have time. What are the triggers? For example, in 2011, 2012, number of cases implemented, 800 budget allowed for 66 cases implemented, number of arsenic cases, 103. But now, how much are trying to do? I don't know how this thing works. For instance, I'm starting with the report is starting with 2007, 2008. Now, in my limited understanding, I thought that it's either a cumulative or what. Now, when I go to 2008 and 9, trying to check from what was seen to said to be outstanding and the total, trying to add together, I can't get these figures adding up together. I don't know whether it's related to what you were saying, which is that sometimes the reports that we're getting may not be very accurate. For instance, in 2009 and 10, number of claims implemented 131, number of outstanding claims 131. Of what? I'm just trying to make sense of this. I don't know if someone could help with this.
I will give this my best shot, Jefferson. Unfortunately, he's not here, Jefferson. The number of claims implemented, there are as much as I'm saying, we don't know with certainty that here is the evidence. I can go to court and say this information is correct. There is information, for instance, like the court cases that I mentioned. You see, there's 346 court cases. There are agreements that are signed that are known, where we have paid 50%. So you say you've got to prioritize that backlog. You've got to prioritize that backlog. Otherwise, if you don't prioritize it, it can end up becoming a challenge. But two, Chairperson, this is the problem. In the past, when commission was settling a claim, settlement does not mean finalization. Hence, you find that the money that was spent then was going into claims where they had paid 50%. They were not settling new claims. That is why we are having trouble with that information. It says backlog. The backlog claims were not new claims. It was claims that were old, probably had been in our books for 3 years. So you can't therefore say you have settled all of those claims. That is why checkers are saying we're trying to verify this information so that we are all comfortable. The numbers are not cumulative. Each one of them was how much was settled in that particular financial year. They are not cumulative. Yes. On the final question on the budget, Chairperson, we cannot say that we are comfortable with the budget. We do know that there are huge claims. One of the court cases we have to deal with involves a very big claim of nearly 800 million. You'd be surprised, it could be 30,000 hectares of well developed land, not all of South Africa. So
among these court cases that were that we are talking about, they could be exactly that. Two claims came wipe out this 2 billion. So we can't come back to you and say we will not come here back to you begging to say how do we take money away from them for. We can't say that.
I'm very grateful that the department is investigating and that they've got this commission and, you know, investigating all this. But the DG has said that they've got 346 cases which they know about, which is clear, it's finalized, it's done. Now, I don't know whether all of them, you know, have involved that the 50% has already been paid off the claim. But irrespective of that, can the DG please advise this committee by, say, Monday, with your approval, Chair, that, you know, give us the quantum of those 346 cases. Because, you know, the DG said there might be one claim of 800 million, then your 2 billion is gone. And you know, there's something wrong if we don't know where we're going. And, you know, it's great to say, we don't like this, we don't like that, and people are upset. Yes, they will be upset in South Africa because we are not dealing with their feelings of wanting land. But we just can't give land away, and there's no training for the farmers, and there's, you know, nothing is happening, no production of food. So it's an integrated process that needs to be looked at totally. But if we can just have that figure by Monday, you know, telling us what the quantum of those 346 cases are, and if you get a 347th one by Monday, add that.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'll be quick. You know, Chair, I really sympathize for the department because to me it's wholesale theft what's taking. 13,000 hectares can never ever financially pay off an 800 million rand debt. It's impossible. So why is the court siding with the thief? That's true. They're thieves. It's impossible. The commercial value of that property is not 800 million. What do you have to generate in profit to service an 800 million rand debt? It's impossible. It cannot be that value. Somewhere you have to be able to challenge these people and what. Because the National Credit Act would never allow a financial deal between myself and my colleague. It's not viable. They'll just say, sorry, you're not getting the money. So why, as government, does our very Credit Act not protect us against being stolen from? It's wrong. No, really. We have to deal with these farmers and these officials that do this. They've got a job. Don't look Julius on this one.
Chairperson, now I also that is very close to my heart, this whole department. For that, they have tremendous jobs. I must tell you, it is unfair that you look at so-called the Latourier Protest of the Carthus, if you look at that is the Farmers Weekly, the Afrikaans version. That was, and I think it was last year that the DG was done, and I also made this point. In same areas where they paid 7,000 rand, they had junk. And when they come on the auction, it was 1,000. Now that is the thing that I think we must look at early. To see how we address the point that my colleague on the side. And I think if we can go back to many of these people, to these farmers, and if we say, listen, that's what we are going to pay here. I don't think we must steal the land of anyone. Not of black farmers, not of white farmers, not that. But the reality is, there are some people and some farmers that think they can make money out of this country. And we must stop this. That is the reality. If you are the farmer, and the income is less than 5%,
How do you think can a new farmer survive on a farm like that? That's impossible. And then you think he might make a success. He cannot. So we must be realistic when it comes to farm prices. If you look at stands nowadays, normal stands in towns, 100,000 stands, they're in the market now for 450. And if you bargain with that guy, you will get it for 350,000. So the point is, I think it's about the marketing mechanism. Because some of these farmers, they are also, they are, I don't want to say the word Jewish, but they are now out to bargain with the state. So the point is, I think we must improve the caliber of our negotiations. And I mentioned it on an earlier occasion. But the reality is, the sooner, and I think that is, we are in agreement on that, the sooner we come to a point that we can say, we can go to the farmers and listen, that's what we cannot do. Finish it off. It must be realistic, but not close to the now that is my idea. Of course, if I look at this too, now I will tell you the challenges will become more and more acute. The quicker we move in that direction, thank you, Jay.
Okay, I agree and I disagree. Sorry.
I can foresee, although the DG had already referred to the issue of the fact that they might, I was going to ask to say that that was the environment, but it's already referred to the fact that they will ask for money from, they might again do those shifts. But we believe that even if you don't do the shifts, it becomes bad when you ask for environment and you don't use it all. We ask that if you ask for that money, you use it 100%, especially the one that wasn't at all on what we had, because to us it becomes a very, very frustrating and it gives it discourages us from listening to you when you say you ask environment, understanding, understanding, because why do you ask for that money, or is it something you keep just around the corner in case something happens? We ask that if you really do any rollover, let's make sure that it was for that specific purpose, because your mission is very serious, especially for us where we know how people are suffering outside there. So please use this money for the benefit of the people, and let's not ask you again why you understand, because as long as you spend 95% of the little bit of it, when you ask for environment, it's not a good point, CFO. Please, for the benefit of those poor people out there, let's see this department working and not exchanging words with it. And then I concur with my colleagues on the left here behind.
Jay, we're not talking politics here, we're talking about community setting. I'm not on the right, I'm just a good businessman. Now, I agree with my colleagues and I disagree with them to a certain extent, because farming is not a great profitable investment. I mean, if you buy a farm and you make it, you are really lucky. Because the cost of producing or production is very high at the moment. But in any case, be that as it may. If it was my farm that is now negotiating for 800 million, I would have asked $1 billion. Because it's my farm. So, you know, if they are prepared to pay me $1 billion, then I'll be happy to pay to take $1 billion. But if they negotiate with me for 800 million, I'll probably accept 600 million. But, you know, that's by the by. The problem is, and this is an answer I got from the previous DG. I asked him, how do you determine the value of a farm? And this is why Honorable Caliber was raising this question, the farmers weekly in the London area, because we get it much cheaper. He said, no. If the farmer says, I don't like this valuation, they get another one. And if he says, no, I don't like this valuation either, they get another one. They have 3-4 valuations for the same farm, and the valuator is paid every time. And I asked him, but why do they do this? He says, no, well, you know, they haven't got
affirmative action mandate. What an answer. It's not a reply. Because we surely must know what's going on. So we must negotiate, we must know, and we must know what the values of farms are. And as Honorable Callum said, just read the farmers quickly and the London website, and you'll see in that area what, you know, what the farms are going for per hectare. So why pay R1 million per hectare if you can get away with R50,000 a hectare? And if we don't know what's going on, then we shouldn't be in this department negotiating on behalf of the government. But the way negotiations are taking place, it worries me, Chair. If we have 3 valuations of the same farm before we get to some agreement with the farmer, then I'm worried that somebody's getting something under the table, with all due respect. And I'm not saying it's happening, DG, but this is the answer I can reply. I got a question to your predecessor, and you know, it's not acceptable.
Chairperson, thank you very much for this feedback we are getting from the members of the committee. I know the committee wanted us to be very brief in our presentation, but I saw they were very passionate and robust in engaging us on the report. We appreciate that. We appreciate the fact that the committee members also realize the complexity of the task at hand. Indeed, the issue of land prices is a big challenge. That's why the minister even yesterday was announcing that the department will be tabling a law this year in Parliament to establish an office of a valuer general who's going to set up norms and standards for valuation. Well, that is what is also lacking. The land market in South Africa is totally unregulated. Sometimes the department has got to compete with somebody who's using euros or US dollars sitting in Dubai buying farms on the internet. If you come with your South African rands and the farmer says, when he was on the verge of agreeing, then he suddenly gets this phone call from an estate agent and says, hey, I got you a buyer. So it's a tough environment. So we are hoping that the intervention we are proposing through that law will help us. We thank you, Chairperson, for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Dichi. I must echo your words that we thought that this was going to be a shorter meeting, you know. But it turns out to be I think there's a number of things we need to do that we will discuss. I see the issue of the budget,
yeah,
but I think one is that I agree with colleagues that the issue of pricing may be something that needs to be looked at. And we understand that you say sometimes it's beyond your own control. But maybe what the department needs to look at is what is it that can be done, you know, in order to mitigate this. If somebody says I want 800 million for 50,000 hectares, you know, the only solution that can be done, or what else can be done? You know, maybe the portfolio committee understands better because they deal with these issues fully, unlike us, so that we understand as to why perhaps would this price go to this extent. And so, is there a cabin or what those kinds of things? The way the pricing structure today stands is something that needs to be looked at. Otherwise, you can take the whole budget of South Africa and still not buying all the land that you would want to transfer. Now, the perhaps I'm not sure, DG, maybe you are sure in this new reconfiguration as to exactly or you have sorted out that as rural development, this is what you're going to be dealing with. You call it DAF, and this is what they are going to be dealing with. I'm not sure if you're really clear about that. But I think that maybe as the committee as well, maybe we need to understand your own strength length of both departments. I'm not sure if we could convince us here in terms of what is it exactly that you're responsible for, that they are not doing, you know. Because we, I think, from the point of budgeting, we must be wary of a situation where you recruit this thing and only to find that other than duplicating the same work. I hope that at least in your committee, CLASA committee, you're working this out so that it doesn't happen. We understand the evolution, the transition that we're ahead, but maybe we really need to find a way. And I'm glad that you didn't mention anything about COFTA. You're still talking about agriculture in terms of what is it that exactly you want to do. I think this issue of the land restitution and then the cost. Sometimes I get confused as to what is it that you're talking about. It is true. Clearly, we can't talk about it now. We have agreed, but hoping that the department will come with a strategy of saying, how do we deal with these issues? I mean, I'm talking about now budgeting. We have agreed that with the portfolio committee yourself, National Treasury, I don't know who else, will have to engage about that. Because, as my colleague was saying, we are allergic to people coming here and tell us that no, we have had to shift funds from here to there. Because we would like to see a situation where the medium-term expenditure framework is seen to be working for the department. For now, I'm not sure now if we could say that it's doing that, but we'd like to see that situation. But maybe with the challenges that you confronted with, there are challenges as far as that is concerned, but somehow it must be corrected, and I think that maybe that kind of a meeting could go a long way towards assisting. However, we don't mean that you have to take over your responsibilities of your taking power that you take to National Treasury. We don't want to replace them, you know, and that, but just saying that, let's just, if we can rectify this, our program, I mean the budgeting, I don't know the way that we're using, maybe it's the right way, but I think that is the issue that we need to look at. Now the last issue, PG, we are aware that this year, and for the first time, we're using the annual performance plan. Yesterday we had a big discussion about whether this thing is a new thing altogether. But we know that in the past, it's named that has changed from a business plan to annual performance plan, but we think that from where we are sitting, there are still challenges in terms of saying exactly if this is whether you call it a business plan, whether you call it an annual performance plan. I think that if the objective is the same, is to say this year this is what we want to do, and this is what we want you to monitor us on, or to do oversight on. I think that maybe we need just to tidy it up a little bit so that all of us, you can be able that we can measure you, because I think that the idea is to be able to measure the department. I don't think that it's not your boss from the agreement, the performance agreement that are signed by the ministers, which are over 5 years, but cannot be achieved if there's no clarity about each year what are we going to do year one, year two, year three. It's going to be difficult, not only for us, but even maybe for monitoring the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, if these targets, annual targets, are not clear. But maybe they are clear. We only received the document today, now, in the meeting. Maybe they are clear. I'm sure members will find time to go over them so that they can be clear. Sometimes I know your phone is not always closed, but may come back to you and ask for clarity. But on that note, I would like to thank you as a department, and hope that the members by next week will understand. You see, I didn't want to, on the lighter side,